Let's hit the Wisconsin waterways. I'm Lee Raven, and our next guests are here to give you a guided tour of the places you can take your kayak and canoe, the best places to paddle in Wisconsin, or perhaps you can share a special spot with them, if you're willing to. And now that we see fall on the horizon, it's another reminder that getting out there in the most peaceful way possible provides a little peace of mind. So if you have questions about canoeing, kayaking, and paddling across Wisconsin, if you've got a place you'd like to share, you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email anytime to talk@WPR.org. And our guests this hour are Darren Bush, a chief paddling evangelist. I love that title. You are lucky to have it, sir.
Well, it's self-appointed.
There is no online certificate you had to fill out?
No, it actually came from Guy Kawasaki, who wrote Selling the Dream. He was the chief marketing officer for Apple. And he wrote this book, and he says, if you're not an evangelist for what you do, why are you here?
Right? Chief paddling evangelist. So also of owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison.
Well, yeah, that.
But mainly the evangelist. Yeah. Also joining us, Timothy Bauer, member of milespaddle.com, which is an amazing website if you want to get out on Wisconsin waterways or Minnesota or Illinois. He is the author of Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison, and a book coming out next spring, hopefully before then, that will detail the tour of the Driftless area. Timothy, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Lee.
You've both been here before with Larry, and I want to talk first about how to get started on getting out on the water. Where to begin when it comes to paddling? I see people taking their kayaks to the lakes who have their canoes by the waterside, and I wonder what the entry point would be for somebody like me. Where would I go to get started, Darren?
Well, you need to talk to people who have been there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I always say the best way to get started is to have a friend or find someone who can coach you. If you can't find that, talk to someone like us. We'll give you some advice based on the same questions we ask everybody, right? It's like when you go to the doctor, they have those things they ask you. How's your sleep? How's your eating? You
know? Yeah, but this is the opposite of the
right.
doctor.
It is, but it's the same mechanism. It's, okay, where do you see yourself going? You know, what kind of rivers, what kind of lakes? And, you know, are you carrying a lot of gear? Are you not carrying a lot of gear? Do you swim well?
And that's a pointed question.
Well, it is. But you know,
or
we,
at all.
We tell people always wear a life jacket. So it's just the kind of getting down to the nitty gritty.
What do you want to do with it is the question, you know, what do you want to do out there? What do you want to see? Where do you want to go and how do you want to get there?
Right. And a boat is just a tool, right? It's, there's a pleasure to paddling in and of itself, but what you want is the gear to disappear, so
the
you just have the experience.
Gear.
Right?
You don't think like about an it. Evangelist.
Well, you don't
Amen.
Think, right? You don't think about it anymore.
Right?
You just get in, and all of a sudden you're surrounded by whatever you're surrounded by, and it's like, oh wait, yeah, these birds and rocks and plants, and if you're fishing, these fish, and it's like, oh wait, I'm in a boat.
Timothy, how do I decide upon a kayak or a canoe?
Oof, we could spend the entire show talking about
really?
That.
It's that big of a
it's
question?
A religious discussion.
It goes to the mat pretty quickly. Each has its own advantages and disadvantages. I think a lot of people who grew up paddling did so at the mercy of their parent or parents, mm-hmm. often in a canoe.
Yeah.
And if they still feel that love of being on the water as an older person, as an adult, often they'll want to be in a kayak because, like, I've got bad associations with being in a canoe because that's where I was dragged along and had to clean fish. And whereas a kayak, now I'm an adult and I could do my own thing. That doesn't always work. Sometimes it's the opposite direction. For me, I started getting in a kayak because that was the most available entry point.
Okay.
And
is that still the case?
No, I've graduated into being almost exclusively a canoeist.
What happened, Timothy?
Well, I have an old soul, Ray, and for me, the canoe was a better complementary match. Plus, it also works better for my posture. Like when,
oh,
you know, sitting in a kayak, you don't have a whole lot of flexibility. You don't have a lot of wiggle room. You're kind of stuck in one position for the most part, depending on the size of the cockpit. Maybe you could raise your knees in, but that's about it. Whereas in a canoe, you can sit, you can kneel, you could potentially stand up if your balance is good. I just find it a lot more flexible for my posture and my uneasiness sitting in one position for too long.
Talking to our producer, Clara, before the show, she said it's bad on her back, but can she find a way to make it good for her back, like kind of a canoe?
Yep.
Yeah.
plenty of adaptations, and that's what we do a lot of.
Yes.
We just had a camp, Camp Rutabaga. We just had it up last weekend up in Boulder Junction at Camp Manitouish. We took it over, brought in about 150
paddlers? Was it all paddlers?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
And it was canoeists, it was kayakers, it was sea kayakers, it was anybody who puts a blade in the water could come. And it's a novel approach because usually these things are craft specific, but it was cool because it was crossover. And
yeah.
I'm struggling in my kayak, my seat's not comfortable, well, let's make some adjustments to it, or maybe I should get a canoe and try a canoe, and maybe the canoe's not working. But there's so many different variations in water around here. So I paddle the Sugar River a lot, which is just right down here. And you come around the corner and there's a deadfall. Getting out of a kayak is tricky. Getting out of a canoe is still tricky, but but easier to get out of than a kayak because
sure.
you can kind of get your feet under you and jump up and grab a chunk of weeds and pull yourself up. But it's just a different tool, right? There's no right or wrong. Okay. It's just what works best for you.
One of these days I'm going to sit down, probably over the winter, just give myself like 2 hours, create a flow chart for like kayak here on the left, canoe on the right. As you work your way down, what type of water do you want to be on? Do you want to be on something like Lake Superior? Okay, you're probably not going to have a canoe on that. If you want to camp, it's best to have a canoe because you'd have more gear. So a lot of if this, then go here things. And at some point, we'll sell it at the store. It'll change everyone's look at, okay, now I know which boat is right for me.
We already did that.
It's been done.
Well,
here, I think of it in terms of an app. You should have an app for that with some questions that I could answer. And then it guides me to the sort of paddle sport that I would best fit into.
There's some subtlety there. Otherwise, I wouldn't exist. But the other thing is pack canoes is a new thing. It's not a new thing. Pack canoes.
Oh,
so a lot of folks will paddle in a canoe, but you sit in the bottom of it and it has a seat. So that's been going on in the Adirondacks since the 19th century.
Why would you sit low in a canoe like that?
Because it's a little more stable.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you get the benefit of the kayak. You use a two-bladed paddle,
mm-hmm.
But you also get the benefit of a canoe, which is easier to load and unload. And as far as paddling a canoe on Lake Superior, I've done it before.
But really?
But I was in a canoe that was a long, skinny canoe with a cover on it, with a cover on top, which made it basically a soft-top kayak.
Right.
Right.
And so you wouldn't get water in, it wouldn't submerge, but that was my next question. When Timothy said Lake Superior, I did not consider paddle sports on the Great Lakes to be an option. I was thinking more along the rivers like Sugar River and streams and
Absolutely.
Lakes like maybe Mendota and Monona where we are here in Madison, but the Great Lakes are a place to paddle?
Very much so.
And the Apostle Islands are fantastic. And it's definitely sea kayak territory out there.
Okay.
Because the weather changes rapidly up there, and there's some places you don't want to be when the weather gets bad.
What's a sea kayak versus a river kayak then?
Good question. Sea kayak's usually longer and slimmer and faster. And a river kayak usually is shorter, more maneuverable. So then there's everything in between. So you can take a sea kayak down the Sugar River if you know what you're doing. It's probably a bad idea. And you can take a small recreational kayak on Lake Superior, provided you're dressed
bad
for immersion.
I knew that was coming.
Also a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, most people don't do that. That usually ends poorly.
Our other producer, Joel Patinaud, on our show just bought a new two-person kayak that he's been taking out with his wife for the last 2 weekends. So it becomes also sort of a family event. And but how many people can you get in a kayak? I would think if you wanted the full family, it might be for a canoe.
Yeah. Two people is about the most you can put in a kayak.
Yeah.
But canoes, I mean, I've sold 20-foot canoes to families, you mm-hmm. know, mom and dad and three kids, and they want to go to the Boundary Wonders, and they need the space. And kids don't like sitting in the bottom of canoes. they hate it. So if you get a big enough boat, and then the 6 and 8-year-old can contribute,
yep.
right, and feel like they're part of the gig.
Do some paddling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that very much. So you mentioned, Darren, that you had the event just this past weekend, and you've got an event coming up Saturday, Bega Fest. And Timothy, you're going to be a part of it. What's your role for this weekend's Bega Fest?
So I will be one of three total speakers giving two different presentations. One will be covering fall paddling.
Yes.
Recommendations of where to go. But also some considerations to keep in mind, like what time is sunset and hypothermia concerns about the temperature for the air versus the temperature of the water, where you're likeliest to see, you know, glorious foliage in certain parts of the state. That'll be one presentation. The second one will be about paddling around Jackson County, otherwise known as the Black River Falls area, which is arguably... my favorite part of the state, in part because it is like getting a taste of the North Woods or the UP even, but it's only a 2-hour drive, not a 5-hour drive. And some of the best paddling streams, especially creeks, are in that county specifically.
How would I know where to find these creeks?
Well,
milespaddle.com.
Are they on there? I mean, the list on milespaddle.com really runs the gamut across the state, and it that list continues to grow. But would I find those hidden creeks?
You
right
would.
You're not hiding anything from us at milespaddle.com?
Well, if I answer that honestly, it puts me in a bit of a conundrum. So I
that
will
was my question.
Say I cannot confirm nor deny. Full disclosure.
That's a fair answer. Now, what about Black River Falls in the fall?
Yeah. So the Black River Falls area, again, AKA Jackson County, there's probably you're going to find more pine trees in certain mm-hmm. parts of the county. The county itself is pretty unique in how it was glaciated roughly. It's kind of like Dane County in that about half of the county on a going northeast, northwest to southeast, lies within the shadow of glaciation, mm-hmm. and then the other half really wasn't too affected by glaciation. So the trees, you know, deciduous versus conifer, are going to follow that same line to a degree. The main caveat for paddling up in Jackson County is those creeks need water. And right now, it's hard to find adequate water volume just about anywhere. But that part of the state especially.
That makes sense. When it comes to fall paddling, Darren Bush, what is some of the gear I need to think about having? Some must-haves, some recommendations?
That's an interesting question. So
he mentioned hypothermia, and I thought, yes. Oh, all of a sudden this paddling becomes dangerous.
Well, it's nothing is inherently dangerous, but it doesn't really pay to be neglectful. So, I mean, dry suits are great for cold water.
Yeah.
So you always dress for immersion and the likelihood of immersion. So like paddling the Sugar River in the fall, I don't wear a dry suit because the water is still 65, 70 degrees and you can just crawl out, and I have a bag that I carry with me. So it's not so much the gear as the preparation. So I carry a dry bag with me all the time that has a complete change of clothes. It's got a little tarp. It's got a thing called a bothy, which is like a tent without poles. And you can crawl inside there and change your clothes and get out of the wind. Carry a thermos with something hot in it. I also carry a stove in case I need to get something going. But it's mostly just thinking about, you know, the what ifs.
Yeah.
And if you do the what ifs, then you're going to be fine. You don't have to have the latest and greatest gear. But there is stuff that's useful and makes your whole thing more pleasant.
But preparation is a big part, especially the colder it gets in Wisconsin.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I go out on the Wisconsin River in December.
I imagine that's beautiful. And
oh, stunning.
Yeah. And a little crisp, which would kind of keep you... what do you see out there?
Well, it's interesting. So I have a boat that I built 3-4 years ago for me and my dog, because I have a 100-pound Pyrenees Newfie, and she doesn't fit in a solo. So I took a tandem and turned it into a solo. But in the winter, I can put in a canvas tent and my titanium stove and even a bucket full of wood, go out and park on a sandbar, and I'll be in a 70-degree tent when it's, you know, 20 outside. So I can camp overnight, and I'm the only person on the river, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
so
if you're the only solitude, one out there. Right?
No people, no bugs, beautiful sunrises and sunsets, and definitely quiet.
Got to believe your dog loves the camping. Is your dog good on the canoe?
My dog is fantastic in the canoe, yeah.
Really?
Lucy, when she was younger, if we passed a goose, she'd start getting whiny and then once in a while jump in, more than once in a while. But as she gets a little older, she's 7 now, she's a little more chill.
Yeah, appreciate that. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, also joining us. Timothy Bauer from milespaddle.com, an author of Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, with his new book about the Driftless forthcoming. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk at WPR.org. Let's go to Samantha in Whitehall now. Samantha, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two questions. First, where would be the best place to get a kayak? I've kayaked once at a camp I went to years ago when I was in Lions Camp, and also for one person, and where would be the best, I'm 45, and where would be the best place to, go kayaking in the fall? I know I just barely turned on the radio and heard you say something about, Black River or something, but where are some places? I'm more towards, Trumbull County, but where are some good places to go kayaking?
Darren, let's start with you and where to find a kayak or start looking for a kayak in Trempealeau County.
Well, the most important thing is to buy the kayak that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a gentleman come in the shop. Oh, it's got to be 10 years now. He said, I want to buy the cheapest boat I can get. I just got to go out once in a while. And I'm like, okay, but how's your back? Oh, it's always sore. Okay. I said, take the $500 you'd spend on this boat, put it in hundreds, staple it to the wall of your garage, and then when you need $500, you'll have it. But don't buy that boat. It's going to kill your back.
Yeah.
And so the best boat is the one that gets wet the most. So if you can find something that works for you, both in terms of the seat and all that, and if you can try it and you can find something used, that's fantastic. If you try and find something used that doesn't work for you, then it's going to end up sitting on sawhorses. So make sure you can paddle it. You know, obviously, there's I'm trying to think of the retailers up there. I can't think of any off the top of my head. There's plenty further north, and then we're down here. But I just talk to people.
Yeah.
That's where you start.
Find other paddlers out there and see where they got theirs and shop before you buy.
Well, shop and try.
Try before you buy.
Yeah. And, one thing I'm sure Timothy will agree. The number of people out there that are in the wrong craft is more than should be.
Yeah.
And the thing is, be very wary of online reviews. And the reason for that is you're asking someone to review their own baby, right?
And this is very individualized. It's about what works for your body, what works for what you want to do and where you want to go. So it has more to do with you than anything else, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, it's the rider, not the horse, right? You need to get what works for you. And I struggle when I see reviews that say, yeah, this boat's the best boat. I'm like,
for what?
For what and for who? And it's because it's like, is your baby cute? Yeah, my baby's cute. It's like, well, for you.
All babies are cute, Darren.
All babies.
All right, Timothy, now where can Samantha go in Trempealeau County to have that beautiful fall kayaking experience, would you suggest?
Samantha, you are in a prime time location.
Yes.
Yes. So one thing I'll just quick say, you're not too far away from Winona, Minnesota, for retailers. In addition to Winona Canoes, they of course do canoes, there's Sanborn Paddle Company or something to that effect. Sanborn, okay. S-A-N-B-O-R-N-E. They're also dealership for kayaks.
What's that? No E.
There's no E?
No E on Sanborn. No. Yeah, they make Merrimack canoes.
Right. Oh, but they also sell kayaks.
They sell current design kayaks. Current design. But they're selling only sea kayaks now. Ish.
They don't check it out. See what they got.
They don't make plastic anymore. Okay. They stopped making those. So but definitely call the guys at Winona.
Yeah. And somebody knows somebody always.
Correct.
But in terms of paddling, you know, you are already in the Trempealeau River area if you are in Whitehall.
Yes.
That's a pretty good one, especially as you work your way down toward Perot State Park, just north of La Crosse. There is a designated canoe trail, works for kayaks too. You don't have to be in a canoe. You follow the blue little signs throughout the park. You're basically paddling around Trempealeau Bay, but you're in the heart of a national refuge, as well as Perot State Park. So it's all public land. It's not developed. It's gorgeous. The bluffs are some of the tallest anywhere in the Mississippi River right there.
And they've got traffic signs for canoes?
Yeah, basically turn left here.
You know, how far is that from Wyalusing? About an hour north?
That's a good stretch north. It's probably longer than that. Yeah. I mean, same Mississippi River access, but more west-central part of the state, not southwest. But La Crosse River nearby, too, is also a wonderful river that has lots of good just recreational kayak stretches, nothing technically demanding. You know, if you have an 11, 13-foot recreational kayak, you know, the Trempealeau La Crosse rivers would be excellent for your neck of the woods.
Sounds like you're in a perfect place, Samantha. Let us know how it goes. Jolie in Wausau, we'll go to you next. Hi.
Hello. I've got a question. I've had for years a Carolina Perception kayak, 14, 15 foot, weighing 50 pounds, and I love it that it takes the waves, takes the winds very well. But I'm getting older. I'm having a harder time carrying that. And I'd like to look into a lighter kayak where I can put it in the back of my Subaru and take it to some other nearby lakes up in Vilas County. I looked at one that was called a Swift, and it was 10 feet, but it was only 24 pounds. And I just was amazed how lightweight it was. And it's made with Kevlar. It's made in Canada. I was thinking I'm seriously looking into buying that lighter weight kayak, selling the other one. What do you think, or are there any other ones that are just light like that?
It's really interesting you bring that up. I'm 64, and I'm in the process of selling anything that I have that weighs more than 50 pounds. I'm done. I've got an 80-pound wood canvas boat that is absolutely beautiful, but I don't use it because it's heavy.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years ago, I could flip it up and stick it on my car, and I still can. The first 9 times is fine. The 10th time is doink, and then you're out, right? Your back hurts for a month and a half. So, yeah, I joke that the best color is light. So people are definitely in the same category as we are in switching over to a lighter boat.
Yeah.
Interesting fact about the Carolina, that was sort of the first 14-foot halfway between recreational and sea kayak. And they made over 1,000 of them, maybe thousands. And that was super, super popular. So it's a great boat. So you've got a great boat. It's just too heavy.
Yeah.
Swift, yeah, they're made up in Canada, just about an hour and change from Toronto. It's a second generation company. The man who runs it, Bill, his dad had an outfitter in Algonquin Park. So they tested their construction with renters. And if a renter can't kill it, nobody can, right? So they'll drive it like you stole it, right? So the construction is fantastic. The weight's fantastic. They also have some pack boats, if you're interested in that, that are lighter still.
And that was Swift?
Swift Canoe and Kayak, yeah. And he comes down probably every 4 to 6 weeks to see us and
oh, nice.
Bring people order boats custom because that's what people want.
That's Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Also, Timothy Bauer joining us from MilesPaddle.com. And we are paddling Wisconsin's waterways today with your help. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News. There is a piece to paddling Wisconsin's waterways, and there are so many places to paddle, so many hidden nooks and crannies, and then there are the big ones too, like the Great Lakes, which of course you can paddle and kayak and canoe if you know what you're doing and you're safe about it and you make the preparations. And as I've learned today, the best boat is the one that gets used the most. That's from Chief Paddling Evangelist Darren Bush, who joins us, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Our other guest is Timothy Bauer, member of MilesPaddle.com. And check out his book, Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. And he's got a tour guide coming out on the Driftless area sometime early next year. And we'll have to talk about that at some point as well. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk at WPR.org. And before we get to Raymond in Illinois, I just wanted to follow up on these lightweight kayaks, because we do talk about accessibility and the need to be able to carry whatever you're going to be paddling make it to the water and still feel good about it once you get there.
Right. So one of the interesting things about the canoe industry is it's the composite canoe, which is composite is just another way of saying, you know, cloth and resin mixed together, right? So the caller mentioned Kevlar. That's one of the things. A lot of these materials were invented by the aerospace industry. Little known fact, Kevlar was invented by a woman at 3M. So if you paddle a lightweight Kevlar boat, thank a woman for inventing it. It's pretty cool. But like the helicopter blades on the helicopter that flew around Mars, remember that?
Yeah.
Those were made out of a material that is now used for canoes. It's really cool.
And so I can't remember the name bulletproof of it. Vests and Martian helicopters.
Right. And the canoe industry could never afford to develop materials like that. But thankfully, right, those people do it for us, and we just adapt to it. So that's one way. The other thing is polycarbonate or ABS. Think about like football helmets.
Yeah.
That material is lighter than the typical rotomolded, you know, polyethylene canoes. So those are also very popular. And the prices are pretty comparable, maybe slightly higher. So that's one of our better selling materials, is that ABS plastic.
All good. Jolie, I hope you find something that works for you, and let us know how you do. Now we can get to Raymond in Illinois. Raymond, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What do you have for us today?
For paddle recommendation, last fall I was paddling my Vagabond on the DuPage, you know, leisurely enjoying the foliage. And this couple comes paddling through in their matching North Star Phoenix canoes. Very nice boats. They weren't such nice people, though. They started ridiculing me because I was stopped enjoying a sandwich, whatever. Things got really heated. I felt uneasy as I was outnumbered. I was relieved when they finally went on their way. So with that in mind, I know you're talking lightweight stuff, but what is the very heaviest canoe paddle you could recommend? I think I needed to defend myself.
Did you run into John and Sherry?
You know, that may be the first time anyone has asked that question. Yeah. Forget lightweight.
Yeah. Raymond ran into John and Sherry, probably.
I did not know where that was going.
Those are the only people I know that have twin Phoenixes. So the heaviest paddle you can get, I'll give you an answer to that. I have one. So in, I think it's in Montreal, they have a winter festival.
Yeah.
Part of the winter festival is a race across the St. Lawrence River through the ice floes, right? It's crazy. So they have these specially designed canoes that are basically icebreakers.
Yeah.
And they use paddles that are, they're about 70 inches long, and they have a giant metal spike on the bottom of them. So if Raymond wanted to use one of those against his nemesis, please don't, because I love John and Sherry. They're great.
And you thought you could stump our chief paddling evangelist. No, I've got to believe that is the answer. I can't imagine there is one any heavier.
There is not.
Well, paddle is also sort of a loose term. That, you know, lots of things could act as a paddle.
In
Raymond,
an emergency,
go with that where you wish.
Or, yeah, or a weapon.
Yeah.
Either way.
A good old medieval scabbard, or you take it as you wish.
Oh, stop.
What's the best place to be leaf peeping on the waters this fall? Once the colors begin to change, Timothy, is there a place at milespaddle.com where I can get a route to see the best colors at the best time of year in Wisconsin?
Probably. I'm hesitating on answering simply because it's a little like, where can I find the best shooting stars?
Where's your favorite?
I'd say finding a calm lake is probably your better bet than a moving river, in part because it allows for more contemplation because you're not worrying about the current or meandering this way or that.
Like Raymond, you can eat a sandwich.
You could eat a sandwich or plot your next stroke. But water level is, you know, really going to be the issue. You do not want to go out for a contemplative, serene, spiritual afternoon with the colors and the kaleidoscope when you're constantly running aground rocks on the river because there's just not enough water to comfortably float.
It's the second time this is coming up now.
Yeah,
and we've had drought-like conditions in Wisconsin for the summer, but how do I know before I go whether or not I'm going to be beaching my kayak or canoe?
It's an excellent question.
Yeah, there you go.
sometimes you don't know until you get there.
Yeah.
But on Miles Paddled, for most of the trip reports, and each trip report is a certain section of a certain river. For most of them, we have given a gauge level. So there are a couple of different gauges that monitor the flow rate or just the basic height of rivers. They're available online. We link to those gauges, and then we tell you what it was when we paddled it. So you have a baseline of, was this too high? Was it too low? Was it just right? And Goldilocks. And then you can compare that with real-time data of, well, what is it today? This was a good level when they did it 2.5 years ago, but now it's a foot shallower or more water. That gives you an approximate sense. When in doubt, call a local outfitter or a state park or even a fishing shop because somebody always knows if a river is up or down.
You know, you go out and you want to paddle. Nobody wants to go out and carry. Maybe they do, but I haven't.
No, they don't.
Nobody wants to just go out and be carrying their boat around.
You know, Mirror Lake's really nice in fall because there's a lot of color. But the other thing is there's tamaracks there. And they drop their needles, and they're like gold, right? If you hit it just right, it's like paddling through this molten gold, and it is so beautiful.
Follow the
it's
yellow brick.
Smoky gold of Aldo Leopold.
Oh, man! All right, it's going. I've got to find a boat first, but it's going on my list.
Yeah, I know a guy. I can.
I've heard of a guy.
I can set you up. Even you can borrow one of my boats. I have way too many.
If it's over 50 pounds, it's for sale.
That's true. I heard you have a very nice one right now that I would struggle with carrying.
You don't want that boat. Yeah. It's so beautiful. And for two people and for tripping in flat water, it's fantastic. It's fast. It's an old E.M. White design from the late 19th century, early 20th century. And it's fantastic.
Sounds like a classic car that you keep in the garage because it's too nice to take on the road.
It's a 69 Impala SS is what it is.
Let's go back to your questions and comments now for our guests, these paddling evangelists, Darren Bush and Timothy Bauer. Pat Marshfield, you're next. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good. I'm just calling to say hi to Darren. He led us down the kayak rabbit hole in about 2000. I went to the East Coast and paddled a bit my first time in a sea kayak and came back and told my husband, we're doing this. And so off we went to Rutabaga. We got two big plastic boats and then, well, we got pretty good at it. So we bought two more composite boats, traded those in. We had to have a new car to get those kayaks on top. And then we said, sea kayaks, well, where can we go around here? So we went up to Lake Superior, absolutely fell in love with it, and decided we needed a kayak house. So, wow. Darren, bless your heart, you were responsible for all of that, and I just want to thank you.
I mean, a couple of kayaks, a couple of kayaks more, and then a new car, and then a new house.
And then a house to go with the boats. I love it.
You're welcome. I think. But yeah, thank you. That's kind of my dream is to hear people who start off with, you know, nothing or almost no knowledge. We help them get the equipment and the knowledge as well. And then
but then the
this,
lifestyle, yeah. and then the experience, oh, yeah. and then the memories, and then the places that you go, and the places it takes you. It's a lot bigger than just a boat.
It's not just a boat. You're right. I'm writing an article right now for Silent Sports Magazine.
Yes.
And it's their last print issue, and they're going online. And it's about the experience of getting other people in. And I'm talking about my kids specifically. I mean, both my kids could paddle solo canoes before they could ride bikes.
Wow.
So... they grew up as shop kids, and my daughter said recently, I forget that not everybody grew up like this, right, in the outdoors, mm-hmm. and first solo canoe when she was 4 and first kayak when she was 6. And she just got married. And
oh, congratulations.
Still a little for yeah. Clint. She's 38 years old, so she's been paddling a third of a century.
We had the editor yeah. of Silent Sports Magazine on the show last month, and it's an amazing magazine. I had no idea it
well,
even existed.
Well, Joel
it's
used to
still
be.
Around.
Yeah. yeah.
Joel and then Kelly O'Day, and now it's... oh, gosh.
Lou.
Sorry, Lou. yeah, so now it's Lou, who I've known for 20 years.
Pat, that's a wonderful story, and thank you so much for sharing it with us today.
Thanks, Pat.
David Marshfield called, couldn't stick around, wants to know if you've heard of Rick Kark and his paddling guides. Dave thinks you can find them online and download them. Timothy, you're the paddling guy that I know.
Rick Kark, you could find his list of, I believe, 309 streams across
Whoa.
Wisconsin
Whoa.
On the River Alliance of Wisconsin's website.
So the River Alliance does this too.
They help. I don't know the full details of this. Uh-huh. I'm not privy to that. But Rick knew one of the a former executive director, I think, at River Alliance. Everyone at one point or another knew Rick Kark, I think.
I didn't know Rick Kark.
It was before my time.
Okay.
Late. So, yes.
Thank you.
I'm late to
I was
any,
feeling left
any
out.
Party. Yeah, no.
I think Rick's my age.
I mean, think Rick lives not... I think he's in North Carolina. But now we're
okay.
speculating
right.
on...
No, but I know he was definitely around my age.
Yeah, that's believable. So, yes, he put together this vast compendium of streams, his experiences. I've used it several times just to find a stream I had never heard of. And it's not necessarily thorough. Some details are lacking, like water levels. And, you know, some of these entries are from 1982. And things changed from
oh,
last
wow.
year, much less, you know, almost 50 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's not, you know, it's more like a snapshot in time than anything. But it is an excellent and very thorough list of just... options, and they're divided throughout the state, like northwestern, west central, you know, southeastern. So depending on, you know, either where you live or where you like to travel, you can find so much information.
How did you get into this, Timothy?
To impress a girl, of course.
Didn't work.
Well, as I like to say, it's been a love affair since.
Yeah, you married the
paddling part.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the rest is semantics. But no, that I mean, in no small part, that was part of it. In all seriousness, I've always been drawn to water. But I did not grow up like Darren's mm-hmm. kids at all. I grew up in suburban New Jersey, where you might dump a body
I was
going to
say,
river,
don't go in those waters.
And I'm not kidding. Or whatever other petrochemical of your choice. But I've always wanted to be near water. But I didn't get into a kayak until I was 31.
Oh, wow.
And I'll be 50 next year. And it's become my single biggest obsession by far.
And it's kind of kept you both pretty young. I mean, 50.
Well, you know, we are on radio, not television, so...
You don't know how
audience,
young they look.
Yeah, right.
Why are you looking at me like that, Darren?
Yeah, I'd have gray hair if I weren't bald.
It keeps you young. Darren
yeah,
Bush,
oh,
Timothy Bauer, our guest, our paddling evangelist, and let's go back to your questions and stories for them now at 1-800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. Bruce in Cambridge, you're next. Hi, Bruce.
Well, hi. How are you?
Great, thank you. What do you
Great
have for
show,
us today?
By the way.
Thank you.
Well, I'm 72, and I've got a 12.1 Delta kayak, and about 6 months ago, the stern hatch blew off while I was traveling And so I've been trying to find how to get that replaced. I called up to Canada, and the prices have gone crazy because of the situation between U.S. and Canada. And I was just wondering if you guys know of any place where you can buy replacement hatches for specific kayaks, or is there a way to generically cover a lost hatch that would be effective?
Yeah, so the problem with the Deltas is the hatches are molded at the same time the boat's molded. Mm. And what they do is, so where the cockpit goes, they actually put in the mold, the shape of the hatch. So they just cut that out so as not to waste material. I think that if you're not using the boat actively in the next couple of weeks, I think if you wait, the solution will rectify itself. Usually it does, as far as the tariffs go. The other option is to make one. And it's not that hard if you have any woodworking tools. But I would probably wait. But if you want to make one, plywood works really well. Not plywood. What's that stuff you stick down under the floor? Subflooring, right? That really skinny stuff that you can flex. You can torque that a little bit, and if you use that plus a little bit of a rim around the outside of it, sits down into that recession, right, where the gasket is. You could probably put something together. But I would wait.
Just see what happens.
Do you want me to call them? so send me an email, darrenb@rutabaga.com, and I'll call Sandra, who's the controller and part owner, and just say, can you just help a dude out?
Your connections are incredible.
Well, I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah, but I mean,
I could text her right now. These people are also my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way the industry is. It's
not so much an industry as a culture that you kind of all go see the same things, have the same experiences.
Well, my daughter invited some of her non-biological uncles from the industry to her wedding. So that's
family.
That's how tight this is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Bruce, thank you so much for the call. And give Darren an email, see what he can do for you. Ellen in Bayfield, you're next. Hi, Ellen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the show, everyone. I have an old town fiberglass canoe that I bought in 1983. I've had it restored once, new fiberglass, and also it has wood gunwales, feet, thwarts. It's a beautiful canoe, but it needs restoration yet again, and it's in rougher shape than it was. I'm wondering if it's worth the restoration or if I should just let it go and buy a new one.
So is the inside is fiberglass and the outside is kind of a colored pigment, is that correct?
Yes, the entire body of it is fiberglass inside and out.
Okay. Without seeing it, I can't give you a definitive answer, but if it's already been done once, it's probably best to cut your losses, because every time you repair it, you make it heavier. That's the thing to consider, right?
Yeah, you're patching up, you're adding to it, not taking away from it. It becomes
right
more of a lift.
Yeah, after a while, it's time to move on. I think I know what you're talking about it. There's a couple that are, is it pretty flat on the bottom and has kind of a keel on it? Probably a Stillwater 12 or 14, something like that. Yeah, they everything has a lifespan.
Yeah.
So I think it's past it.
Somebody will want it if you try to sell it, and they could take it up as a fix-it-up project. Especially if it has age and character and vintageness to it.
I mean, you can sell it to a kid for $300 or give it to a kid in the neighborhood for nothing, just to get him on the water, her on the water. That's what I would do.
Thank you, Ellen. Let's go to Paul in La Crosse next. Paul, hi.
Hi. I grew up with my oldest brother. He slalom kayak, if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Used to do it,
it's an Olympic sport. He's not doing it anymore, but he lived in Bryson City, North Carolina, the foothills of the Smoky Mountains for a while, and I enjoyed kayaking on the Nalahala River. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that one?
Well, there's the Nantahala, and then there's also there's a whole bunch that are Cherokee names.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, the Nile Hollow is my favorite. So it's a really nice river to kayak on.
Can't stump you guys. You've been everywhere with your boats.
I haven't been there, but two friends of mine who live in Illinois, they went to a training, whitewater training course, I think for about a week on the Nana, as it's sometimes called.
It's a Nanhale Outdoor Center is the outfitter there, yeah.
Right. So I've not had that luxury or privilege yet, but it sounds fabulous. I'm encouraging them to write about that for Miles Paddled. Just because I think it would be a cool sneak peek for other people to know, like, you can go here. It's not that far of a drive, all things considered. It's not the only place, certainly, to learn whitewater skills. We have that here in the Midwest. But to be in the true mountains, to be in a very different part of the country, they offer a great opportunity.
And Wausau is a great place to start learning, too.
Slalom kayaking?
Yeah, so Wausau has an artificial course there, and they've had world championships there before. It's a first-class first-class place, and they have public releases because the water's dammed. It's the Wisconsin River, and they'll open it up for public releases so you can go and paddle, and there's the clubs up there, there's instructors, so you should be able to find a way to get on the water.
Speaking of sneak peaks, Timothy.
Yes, sir.
The Driftless Tour Guidebook. Do you have, you want to give us a preview? Do you want to share one of your favorite places in the Driftless to take your kayak?
Of course.
Or canoe now these days.
Or whichever boat is available.
Whatever floats your boat.
So the book should be available as a tangible bound thing and not just an idea in my head. At the end of February, early March next year, just in time for Canoe Copa.
Perfect.
Not accidental, but we'll roll with it. In terms of one of my favorite places, yes, it is kind of like asking which is of your children do you prefer most and all that. But can't go wrong with the Kickapoo River, of course. It is the quintessential driftless stream. The Upper Iowa in Iowa, the Zumbro in Minnesota. The book covers four distinct states where these states were not impacted by glaciation in the last ice age, blah, 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 blah.
So you're going beyond Wisconsin.
Going beyond Wisconsin. Four different states, four different DNRs, four different laws about public access.
Which would be good to know if you're going to go.
It's helpful to know.
And... before we run out of time here, Darren, what is the status of Rutabaga Paddle Sports? You've been doing it for 30 years.
Where are we at? Well, so most of you know, last fall I decided to close the shop and just be done and go into my hospice chaplaincy training. But I was convinced by several hundred cards, letters, emails.
The family.
The family saying, please reconsider selling. So it is currently for sale. We have a couple of people we're working with, but we'd love to talk to anybody who's interested in keeping this this brand going. It's my baby, but it's time to let the baby, you know, leave the nest and move on to other things.
And with Bega Fest coming up this Saturday, why are you holding this one-day event?
Well, if you tried to go to Canucopia last year, you'll know that Saturday night he started getting forecasts, and exactly.
Nice.
So Sunday was just awful. There was 12 inches of snow. A lot of our friends that lived north were like, they got home to 3 feet of snow. And so it kind of shut down. So we wanted to give people another day just later in the year. So Bega Fest is kind of a mini Canucopia.
And it's one day only, and it's this Saturday.
Saturday.
I can't tell you after this hour how much I want to kind of be a part of your family. I want to get in on this, whatever good vibes you guys. You're like surfers in the Midwest. You've got that sort of headspace that I wish I had.
Well, we all have a biological family, and we have a logical family as well. Lee, you are welcome to the logical family of paddling and...
I will have to find a boat that works for me, but certainly...
Tim's paddling one of my old boats.
That's right.
I mean, this is...
Just to keep it all within the loop.
Right?
Ellen, I might be coming to see your old town canoe sometime soon. Darren Sorry. Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and Rutabaga Paddle Sports, one of WPR's many business sponsors. Timothy Bauer from MilesPaddle.com. His book, Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, an upcoming book. Look forward to it right around the time of Canucopia in March or early this winter, late spring. Late winter, early spring. Sorry about that. Thanks to everybody who called. Sorry we did not get to them all. And thanks to our team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patenaude, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.